Ephesians chapter 2, you can join me there. I've got some wonderful news for you. I've also got some terrifying news for you. And the good news, which is great news, and the terrifying news are one and the same. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 has been one of my go-to verses for many, many years now. We will see why, but I'll tell you up front, in a nutshell, that it is because I am a disaster. I've got issues. I know what happens. I spend plenty of time sitting out there, looking up and thinking in my mind, as just automatically, naturally happens, that person on the stage sharing and speaking, boy, they really have got their life together. They've got it all together, and they've earned that spot to be up here. I have been convinced for years that God has me involved in ministry, because if I wasn't, if He didn't keep me this close, who knows where I'd be. Ephesians chapter 2, among other passages, this has been one of my go-to. It's an incredible verse right in the middle of an incredible passage. Ephesians chapter 2, right? For it is by grace that you have been saved. I mean, wonderful verses there, verses 8 and 9, that whole section is. But again, verse 10, as we focus in on that, we read these words. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now there are two, what I see in my puny little brain, track with me please. I see two major divisions here within this verse. I see in the first portion of this verse, masterpiece. If you're taking notes, you may want to write this down, masterpiece. And then I see in the second portion of this verse, master's use. So we see the masterpiece, and then we see the master's use. Let's get into our first section here, the masterpiece. It's incredible. He begins by saying in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship." That is the masterpiece part. We'll stop there for a few minutes. We are His workmanship. Now we'll get into that workmanship and what that means in just a few moments. But first of all, if I'm taking notes, underneath that masterpiece, I want to write down the words, "We are His." We are His. This is, all throughout here we will see, both good news and at the same time, terrifying news. We are His by virtue of creation. It is God that created you and I. Okay? And because of that, two things. He has the right and responsibility to my life. We'll talk some more about those in a few moments also. But look at what Psalm 139 says. Wonderful Psalm. If you do not know Psalm 139, if you're not familiar with it yet, you will want to do that after today. This is just a couple of verses, verses 13 and 14. Look what David wrote in Psalm 139. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works," David declares. As it's interesting that as he considers the human body, as he's going through those portions of the human body, the inward parts, "You covered me," or "knit me together in my mother's womb," he declares, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works," and that my soul knows very well. He was not necessarily speaking about a physique. It wasn't as if David would be looking in the mirror and saying, "Oh, I just look so good and so fine, and I'm just so fearfully and wonderfully made." But what he's talking about is that the way that the body works. I can understand. I don't agree with it, of course, but I can understand why people would say, evolution, there can't be a God, because the human body is so incredible in the way that it works, that it blows the human mind, doesn't it? There's no way that this could, you know, that God could have just done this in 7 days in the, you know, according to the Genesis account. So I get it. I don't agree with it. It was God that created us. We're no accident. We're no product of evolution or some organism climbing out of the mud. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, what that means is this, is that because God created me, because God created me, He has the right to own my life. Now, not only did He create me physically, materially, but as a believer, and if you are a believer here this morning, the same is true for you. We'll read it here. Not only did He create us physically, bodily, but He has created us brand new once again, hasn't He? Not bodily. These bodies are getting older. The hair is getting thinner. The hair is turning whiter. The body is moving slower. So He's not recreated us physically a second time, but what He has done is that He has made us born again, spiritually. We've got an entirely brand new life. We'll take a look at that. But because He has created me, not only materially, physically, but also spiritually, He has both the right and the responsibility over me. Now, what about this right that He has over me? Now, this is good news, but it's also, again, as we go through this, it will continue to be terrifying news. He has the right to my life. I cannot tell you, I've been saved now for a few years and been in a lot of counseling sessions, and I can't tell you how many times that I have looked across that table and told someone, listen, your life is not yours. Now, for you and I, we hear that all the time, and we think to ourselves, well, of course it's not. You know, I get it, it's God's. But still, what that means, you know, my life belongs to God, but it's my responsibility. I need to work this whole thing out. No, you see, that's just it. You no longer have rights to your own life. I don't know if you realize this or not. When you got saved, I don't know if anyone told you this or not. I have sat down and spoken with people who have shared. I've attempted to go in this direction and that direction and do this thing with my life and make these things happen, and nothing is working out. My question, if perhaps you are here this morning thinking that same thing, I have attempted to do this with my life and do that with my life, and nothing seems to work out the way that I have planned it. Well, let me ask you a question. When you gave your life to the Lord, what did you think that meant? Do you understand? You gave your life away to the Lord. You no longer have rights to your own life. You and I, as believers, are owned by God. And perhaps the problem is that sometime in the past, whether it be years, months, or weeks, maybe you gave your life to the Lord, but maybe you didn't realize that He's got the right to your life. And so ever since you gave your life to the Lord, you've been trying to live your life like it's your own. That is never going to work, church. It is never going to work. You gave your life away. Now some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. When I got saved so many years ago, the preacher didn't tell me that part. But you see, that's what Ephesians chapter 2 is telling us. That's what Paul is declaring. For we are His. He's got the right. He owns us. Now again, that's wonderful news, but it's also terrifying, isn't it? Wait a minute. I'm not the captain of my own ship. I'm not controlling my own destiny. That is correct. That is correct. And if you've been living that way, well then stop. Good news. You don't have to live that way anymore. He's got ownership over us. He's got the right to our lives. But the good news is this, that He also has the responsibility. If I no longer own my own life and God owns it, well, then it's His responsibility. Good news again this morning, church. You can go ahead and set the world down. You no longer have to carry it on your own shoulders. You no longer have to fix everything and everyone around you. We are His. It is His responsibility to carry the weight. It is His responsibility to do the changing. And he's right in the middle of doing that, as we'll see. But listen, ladies, wives specifically, good news. Your husband is not yours. Your husband is his. What that means is this. That's a nervous laugh, like, oh, I thought he was mine. I thought I was responsible for changing this guy. Your husband, if in fact he is a believer, is his. Hey, you're God's, buddy. Husbands, your wives. Your wife is his. We are his workmanship. We'll get into that workmanship in just a moment here. It's an incredible word, and that really is the heart of this verse. At least for me it is. But the good news, and yet the terrifying news, is that we are his. Ladies, you no longer have to worry and fight and struggle trying to change your husband. Let God have him. Let God have him. Hands off. It may be that your husband can't seem, I mean, why does one sock end up over there and one over there and the hamper's over there? It may be that you are getting in the way and not allowing God the time and the space to change your husband's behavior. Back off. Hands off. He's not your work of art, which we'll get into here in just a moment. But same thing for the husbands. She is not your responsibility to change. Relax. I know that he's got issues. I know that she's got issues. But listen, you signed up for that. That's you knew that. At least if you sit through counseling with me, I'm telling you that every week. You sure? This is what's going to happen. You signed up for it. Good news. We are his. He's got the right. He's got the responsibility. He also has the responsibility not only for changing me, but providing for me. Remember all of that time, all of those hours that you spent wringing your hands and worrying about how you were going to pay for this and pay for that and what's going to happen tomorrow at work and what about the boss and what about the fellow employees and what about school and what about my future? That was all God's to worry about. And I've got news for you. He's not worried about it. You don't have to take that from him. You see, when you're taking all of that stuff from him, what you're doing is you're taking that from him. Hands off. Now, we'll find out. You're thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? We'll find out here in just a moment when we get into the second part of this. But good news this morning. We are his. Now, we get into, we're still within masterpiece. We've got our sub-point, we are his, if you're taking notes. Here's the second thing that you want to write down. Workmanship. Did you see that there? We are his workmanship. Now this is why I have come back to this verse over and over and over again for so many years in my wreck of a life. Because I need to remember this. I need to be reminded of this. I need to know this. Workmanship. The word for workmanship there, the original word, I'm sure that many of you know this, is the word poema. Everybody say poema. Poema. Which sounds like our English word what?
Poem.
Like poem. And that is because that word poema can be used to describe a poem. It can be used for the word poem. However, poem, which poetry is a wonderful thing, however, this is not all that it means. Poema, what it actually means is, it means a work of art or a masterwork. Now, pay attention. Let's reread these first few words here. For we are his work of art. Right? Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I think that probably God had Paul write this about John Miller, but he certainly didn't have me in mind when he wrote this. Or some other Christian that I know that's got it all together, because he certainly wasn't talking about me. I mean, how many of you are feeling that same way? Like, yeah, I don't think this verse, I think this is probably should have picked a different text. No. It's for you and I. It is for every single believer in this room. We are his workmanship, his work of art. That word poema can be used to mean a poem, a song, a painting, sculpture, any masterwork of art. This word poema can be used to describe that. And yet he uses it here to tell you and I, for we are his workmanship. What? What? You see, this is why I often find myself back here. This is why I have memorized this, one of the few verses that I've memorized in my puny little brain. This is why. Because I do not feel like a work of art. In fact, I can tell you, apart from this, I can tell you that I am no work of art. Maybe a pile of clay that someone started out with making a work of art, and this is the cast off. And yet, the word declares, for we are his workmanship. Poema. Work of art. Now, you and I do not feel that way. We understand that we have issues, we've got problems. Now, we've got those things all dressed up and nice and combed our hair and made ourselves presentable because we want to cruise into church and, you know, have everybody think, I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. No. Just following the Lord. Just praising the Lord, bro. Right? We just cruise through the hallways like, No. Church is a hospital, isn't it? We're all here. In case you didn't know, you may be a little bit embarrassed in just a moment here, but we're all here because we got issues. Those people that are sitting next to you, they got issues. And they may or may not be the same issues that you have, but they got issues. And from the pews to the pulpit, we got issues. I got issues, I'm telling you. And yet, God declares, we are his workmanship. Now, how could God say something like this, just declare it like this? Because you see, God, we are his work of art. He is the master artist. He knows what you will become, and so he has declared it already. Essentially, what he is saying is, this is what I am going to do with this person's life. And so he declares it. It's as good as done. Our standing with him is that we are a work of art. Are we a work of art right now? Well, you know, yes, it's been declared, but also we're a work in progress. And God is working me into that work of art. And how does he do that? Listen, you and I are like blocks of stone with all of our hardness and all of our rough edges. And God begins to sand down those rough edges and begins to chisel, begins to hammer away, cut away, surgically removing all of those things. And it hurts, doesn't it? Through those hardships, the difficulties in our lives. Some of those times when we're feeling like, I don't know if God is here, if he's not. I don't know if he's paying attention. I've been praying and perhaps through tears and through trials. But what that is those things are tools in the hands of God to make us this work of art that he has already declared us to be. And so those difficulties and the trials and the tears must come. Because those are the things that soften the heart of stone. Those are the things, the circumstances, those sandpaper saints around us that sometimes make it hard to fellowship, right? God is using those things and those people to soften the edges, to change us, to make us different. Now, he uses an entirely different medium. We'll talk about what the master uses in just a moment. But we are His. We are His. Because we were created by Him. Incredible. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things, this is speaking of Jesus, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He created us. God created us bodily, physically. And then created us brand new, spiritually. So, we are His workmanship, the masterwork, the work of art. But how does He do that? Well, we talked a little bit about, you know, the circumstances and the people and things that He uses. However, that doesn't change the nature, right? So He shows us we are His work of art or workmanship. Thirdly, in this section of masterpiece, is the word I put way. Now, you'll not find it in there, but that's just my way of saying we are His workmanship, and the way that He does that, look what He says. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Absolutely fascinating. You see, what is being told or shown to us here is that God is not using just this old material that you and I are, the old nature. He is working those things out. Created in Christ. The word created is the word ktizo. K-T-I-Z-O. Ktizo. It means to create. Look at this. Of God, it's used of God creating the worlds. When God created the worlds out of nothing. Bara. To form, shape, to completely change or transform. We are created in Christ Jesus, not an improvement of the old. It's not taking an old car or an old bicycle and refurbishing it and rehabbing it. It's not taking a home, you know, and DIY and so popular today, taking the old things and making it new by covering it up and putting some paint and those different things, but it is something entirely new and something entirely different. In fact, Paul described it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what creation? New creation. Old things have passed away. They're not covered up. Behold, all things have become new. Rembrandt, Van Gogh, Da Vinci, Degas, the greats, the master artists. Their paintings have been found to have multiple, sometimes multiple figures and paintings behind what you and I see, the Mona Lisa and others. Some field of grass was once a woman's face. It was a portrait. Fascinating. But many of these artists did not have the resources to buy canvases every time they made a mistake. So they would reuse the canvases, put a picture on there. We travel over to the museum and we see that painting and we're in awe. This is incredible. Not knowing that the entire time there were perhaps one or multiple pictures painted before that one, the one that we're witnessing and viewing. But God is no Rembrandt. He is no Da Vinci. He is no Degas. He is a much better master artist. He is the master artist. And when He is creating you and I, He is doing so using the medium. A medium is what the artist would use. He or she may use acrylics, or they may work in oils, or they may work in watercolors. They may use canvas, they may use stone, whatever it might be. Well, God, the master artist, as He is, He's declared you and I to be a work of art. Imagine that. He is bringing that about by using Jesus Christ. For we are His workmanship. What did Paul say there? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He is changing us. He is changing our very nature. And so that struggle. That struggle of letting go of those old things that Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, letting go of those things. Hold still. Let the master artist do what he needs to do in order to make you a work of art. He is using Jesus Christ to make us something entirely different. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, when he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you're a note taker, you may want to mark that word new, because it is the word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, kainos. Check this out. When he says that he is a new creation, the word new means this. It means unused, of a new kind, unprecedented, unheard of. It is something that no one has ever seen before. It is a medium that no other artist uses. He is doing an entirely new work in us. Now, isn't that good news, church? That this old, crusty, beat up, gnarly nature that we have, that God is not just taking that and slapping some paint over that, but that he is making us brand new from the inside. The outside, that's fading away, isn't it? We know that. But the inner man, spiritually, is being remade, renewed, using Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, do you understand why this knucklehead comes back to Ephesians chapter 2 so often? I did it again. Gave into the flesh. That nasty old flesh. God, have mercy on me. I come back to Ephesians chapter 2, and then I read those words again, for we are his workmanship, and I say, Lord, are you sure? We are his masterpiece, his work of art. Now, we've seen what we mean by the masterpiece. Believe it or not, that's you and I. We fooled them, right? But what about the master's use now? We've seen the masterpiece. What about the master's use? Move with me down to the second part of, we're not going to a different verse, just to the second part of it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. That's the masterpiece. Good news. You're not who you used to be. You're not who you will be yet. It's changing you. Okay, so now what? For good works. There's the master's use. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We'll take that apart here in the next few moments. But what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this master work of art that God is creating in us? That he has declared to be already. He tells us there that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, as he says here, for good works. So that if I am taking notes, I've got my masterpiece section, I say we are his workmanship, and the way that he does it is through Christ. But now in my master's use, what am I writing down? The first thing I want to write down is good works. That is my portion, my part of it. That is my responsibility. Now listen, what this means is this, is that the changing of your nature does not depend on you. It does not depend on me. My job in that matter is only to submit. Allow God, the master artist, to cut off what he needs to and rearrange and do what he needs to do. So what is my part of this? Well, he tells us there, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. You say, well, what are those good works? Well, it's this book that you are holding in your hand. Read it. Do what it says. Jesus summed it up for us. It was a two-point sermon. What did he say? He said, love God and love who? Ah, church, you're scared. He said, love God and love still. See, because you're thinking, oh, but you don't know my neighbors. I think God meant that for my neighbors to love me. No, he meant it for you. And you're thinking, well, you know, I live in Menifee. We got property. I don't have any neighbors. Come on. You know what he was talking about. He's talking about the people that are sitting next to you right now. He's talking about the people at the store. He's talking about the people at work. He's talking about people at the DMV. Now you have gone too far, right? We are to love God and we are to love our neighbors. We are to serve them. We're to serve God, serve our neighbors. So that's our portion of it. Now, isn't that funny that I was talking about serving in youth ministry? Shameless plug. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Do you ever sit, do you remember sitting in your parents' car when you were younger, wishing you could drive? You get in that old car and, you know, big steering wheel and you're, you know, acting like, you know, whatever. Maybe get your siblings in there and, you know, drive around. But you know that you've got that steering wheel and, you can only go about this far because it's just not going to turn. It's sitting in the driveway, right? But man, you get the key when you're finally 16, 17, 18 or whatever and you're going out, you know, and you get that car and you turn that thing on and you hear the engine roar. And you back out of the driveway and you start to take off, all of a sudden, something happens with that steering wheel. It's a lot easier to steer, isn't it? Get moving. It'll be a lot easier for God to steer you if you will start serving. Get going. Youth ministry is not the only ministry in this church. It's the best one. There are lots of other wonderful ministries here. If you don't know what to do, talk to an usher or to one of us on staff after. We've got a vacuum for you. You say, oh, so you didn't want me to preach today? Start with the porcelain. Scrub that first. The throne room. Start there. But start. If you're not sure what to do, just start serving somewhere. And what will happen, I've seen it for years now. God will direct you. Sure, there are people who say, okay, they're ambitious. I'm going to start serving. Pastor was talking about it. Sign me up for nursery. And they get there and they realize, oh, no, I'm not called to do this. I do not have the power to cast out demons from these little babies. No, you can't. But maybe it's vacuuming, maybe it's sweeping, maybe it's cleaning, maybe whatever it might be. But that's our responsibility. The good works. Serve. Love God. Love your neighbors. If I'm right, if I'm in this section on the master's use, what is my portion in this? Four good works. But notice this good news. God prepared. Four good works which God prepared. So if I'm writing down notes, I want to say good works, and then I want to say God prepared. We go back to Psalm 139 for this one. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Verse 16, David wrote this, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." In other words, God already knows what it is that you should be doing. You don't have to go figure that out on your own. You just busy yourself with serving Him, serving the people around you. You just get your eyes fixed on the Good Shepherd. And wherever He goes, that's where you go. You don't have to figure out what His final destination is. You don't have to figure out which route He's going to take. You don't have to map it out for Him. You don't have to worry about, well, where's my spot in this, and where's my place, and am I in the front, am I in the back, where am I at? You don't have to worry about that. You just keep your eyes fixed on the Good Shepherd. Follow Him. Get moving. And allow Him to direct you. But understand this is great news. You don't have to figure it out because it says there, for good works which God prepared beforehand. He does already have a plan for you. So you don't have to go out. I got good news. You don't have to go out and make a plan for yourself. Moms and dads, you don't have to make a plan for your kids. God's already got a plan. And I guarantee you His plan is far superior to yours. Let Him work His own plan. Hands off. Back off. Let God do it. You busy yourself with just serving. Serve God. Serve others. Lastly here, we've got good works. That's our portion of it. Understanding that those good works are things that God has prepared already. And then lastly here, look, this is God's desire for us. Because He says this, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There it is. Get walking. Get walking. Get moving. That's our part of this. My spouse is not my work of art. My kids are not my work of art. My coworkers are not my work of art. I'm not even my own work of art. We're all His. Now what? Now that I don't have to hold up the world on my shoulders anymore, now what am I supposed to do? Serve. Serve Him. Serve the people around you. Serve those kids. Serve that spouse. It'll be much more pleasant now that you're not trying to change them. Now that you're not trying to direct them and make them do what it is that you want to do, just love them. Serve them. And watch how God honors His word and obedience to His word. But we should walk in them. In other words, do those good works, and here it is, here it is. What doing those good works does is it allows the master artist, what is every work of art for? But to be admired, but to be put on display. And so those good works that I am to do, that I am to walk in them, that we should walk in them. Did you see that near the end there, that we should walk in them? Those good works, the reason we do this is because this is the master artist putting us on display. When you are going through your difficulties and trials and challenges, and people are watching how you respond, and they say, this person has a life-threatening disease, and yet they've got so much peace. You say, well, that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what God is doing. But maybe you're not even there. Maybe you don't have peace at all. But to make known that struggle, to say, listen, I'm trying not to freak out, but I do sometimes. But God is changing in me. God is changing me. God is working in me, changing me, making me something brand new. That is God's way, those good works that we should walk in them. That's God's way of putting His work of art on display. Now, when I go to the museum and I look at a work of art, whether it be a sculpture or a painting, I don't look at that painting and think, oh, wow, this is incredible. The Mona Lisa. However, did this painting paint itself? You go, no, that's silly. That can't happen. When I see a sculpture, I don't think to myself, wow, it's incredible how this sculpture just came to be. No. I look at it, I'm in awe. I'm in awe of a canvas that is piled up with layers and layers and layers of oil. How can it be that it looks so lifelike? How can it be that this painting looks better than my TV? And what I do is, I don't look to the artwork and say, oh, artwork, you are so incredible. I do look and I say, man, that is incredible. But then my thought goes immediately to, wow, this artist that painted this. Incredible. Incredible artist. And it's the same thing that will happen with you and I as we are being constructed and being worked on as God is changing us. He's putting us at the same time on display to show His handiwork. To say, look what I can do. I can take this gnarl of a man and I can change him from the inside out. I can make him brand new. And what it does is it causes other people to look to the master artist to say, wow, there must be a God. I have known Chris Amaro for years. And he's not changed much, but he has changed. There must be a God. Our lives on display are simply a display of the master's artistry, his work, his handiwork. Now, what do I do at this point? We got to shut it down. We got to get out of here. We got to get you guys out of here and walking, right? Isn't that what he says? That we should walk in them? So we've given you this stuff. Now you got to hurry up and get on out of here and go put this stuff into practice. What do I want to do at this point? Number one, I want to subscribe to this truth concerning me. I want to believe it. I want to say, okay, God, this is what you say in your word. It's hard for me to believe. I really don't see it in my life, but you say that it's so, so I'm going to believe it. I subscribe to that. But then the second thing is not only subscribing, but submitting now. Now I know, God is changing me, working in me, making me new. The best thing, the very best thing that I can do is to submit to His work. Is to sit still and let Him do what He wants to do. Is to submit my will to His. To not fight Him as He's changing me. To not do my best to get out of those circumstances that I am currently in, hating and stressing and worrying. But through that all, to understand, hey, this is part of God's work. He's the master artist. I simply need to submit to His work. I simply need to submit to the work of His hands as He changes me, as He uses Christ to change my nature, as He makes something entirely brand new. Does it hurt? Yes, it does at times. Because again, He is chiseling away, sanding down those rough edges, taking pieces off of that stone block in order to reveal something brand new, something glorious. That's you and I. Isn't that incredible? That's why I'm always back here camping out in Ephesians, coming back to this, thinking, okay, God, sometimes I don't see it, but You said it. I believe it. Let's pray.